the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. In another development, the Dallas Morning News reported that retired National Guard Lieutenant Colonel Bill Burkett said Tuesday that in 1997, then-Governor Bush's Chief of Staff Joe Arbaugh told the National Guard Chief to get the Bush file and make certain that there's not anything there that will embarrass the governor. Colonel Burkett said that a few days later in Camp Mabry in Austin, he saw Mr. Bush's file and documents from it discarded in a trash can. He said he recognized the documents as retirement point summaries and pay forms. Bush aides denied any destruction of records in Mr. Bush's personal file. A suicide car bomb killed 47 people at an Army recruitment center in Baghdad Wednesday, taking the death toll to about 102 attacks on Iraqis working with the U.S. occupation forces within 24 hours. Medical staff said hospitals had taken in 44 dead and 55 wounded, of whom at least three later died of their wounds. Some 53 people were killed Tuesday in a similar attack on Iraqis lining up for jobs at a police station. Most of Wednesday's victims were newly recruited soldiers reporting for duty. Top House Republicans said Wednesday they will try to cut spending throughout the federal budget this year, ruling out no potential targets. Emerging from a long strategy session with no specific decisions, GOP leaders said the party wants to display its devotion to fiscal discipline this election year. Bush's budget proposed holding most domestic programs to growth of 0.5%. Conservative Republicans want to cut spending by 1%. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A Sicilian town is struggling to work out why dozens of household items from fridge freezers to furniture keep mysteriously bursting into flame, terrifying locals and sparking theories of demonic intervention. Some fires have spread to engulf homes, and police temporarily evacuated some 40 residents. Since mid-January, dozens of electrical goods and pieces of furniture have spontaneously gone up in flames, causing huge damage in Canneto di Caronia, a small town on the Mediterranean island's rocky coast. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Michael Powell is the kind of guy who would have rooted for Goliath over David. In fact, if Powell's performance as head of the Federal Communications Commission is any indicator, he would have even given the slingshot to the giant. Throughout his tenure at the FCC, Powell has pushed to unregulate the media giant's use of our public airwaves and to eliminate any restrictions on how much of our nation's media any one conglomerate can control. Already, only five of these conglomerates, Disney, Viacom, GE, Time Warner, and News Corp, control the five largest TV networks, 70% of the primetime television market, most cable channels, and extensive holdings in radio, publishing, movies, records, and the Internet. But that's not enough for Powell and the Bush White House. Last June, they pushed through the FCC a plan that essentially would take the lid off of media ownership rules. In your city, for example, one conglomerate could own 3 television stations, the local newspaper, and as many as 8 radio stations. In my state of Texas, the rules would allow any 2 conglomerates to take over nearly half of the state's commercial TV stations, all of the major newspapers, and 40% of the radio stations. With such ownership comes control of the news, information, and cultural expressions that we get. It's not a matter of the fox being in the hen house. The fox would own the hen house. That's why more than 2 million Americans sent letters and emails to protest the FCC's rules, and why several groups have obtained a court injunction to stop the rules from taking effect until court review. Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's lies.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, if you'd like to join in, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. What else we got? Somebody just sent this to me. Who sent it? It came from Yahoo News. Apparently, the Republicans have figured out how they're going to handle this horror that is the Iraq War. It's Clinton's fault. How's that for a news flash? Yeah, Representative Porter Goss, apparently this Republican thug from Florida, has it all figured out. Somehow, this is Bill Clinton's fault, so that lets the Republicans off the hook. No, I can't. It's too early in the program to say it. It's Wednesday, Truth Seekers. We have 2 shows left this week, and then 5 next week, and 5 the following week, and then we're out of here. So if you have something to say, you want to get it said on this particular version of this program, now's the time to do it. By the way, I've agreed to appear on Fox News Channel's program Heartland with John Kasich, former Ohio representative who is now a media shill, another one of these media whores for Fox. It'll be this Saturday coming, sometime between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m., with some freak named Hugh Hewitt, some right-wing talk show host from the West Coast. Oh, my God. I hate doing this, but I just decided to do it. I'm going to go on Fox News. I hope they have, like, a 6 or 7 second delay. They may need it. If they're listening, they'll say, call up Malloy and cancel it. But I've decided to do it. What the hell? Here it is. Representative Porter Goss said he heard a 1998 speech in which then-President Bill Clinton warned that something must be done about Saddam Hussein and his weapons of mass destruction. Goss said at a Capitol Hill press conference today, unfortunately, Mr. Clinton did not complete that task before his term expired. Oh, God. Goss also said Clinton rarely, if ever, met with intelligence officials, and the top officials in the administration were not particularly engaged on the subject. Okay. Well, I thought it was some kind of a news flash. Yeah, it's just your typical stuff. These are people. Porter Goss is one of those old farts who would have been fine if he would have been able to look at Bill Clinton's penis in a court of law. That's what these Republicans wanted. Had to do with the, what's your name? Who was the little traitor trash girl? Who was that, Kathy? The traitor trash girl that had said that Clinton had sex with her in Arkansas. Paula Jones, thank you. Oh, God. I try to block so much of this stuff. You know, the Paula Jones lawsuit that Bill Clinton perjured himself at, I guess, during the deposition. Paula Jones insisted there was something odd about Bill Clinton's privates. And that's what the Republicans have wanted ever since. They wanted to get the president at the time in a court of law and have him drop his trousers. So Porter Goss is one of those Republicans who was grossly disappointed that he couldn't gaze upon Bill Clinton's penis and experience whatever kind of rush or thrill or disappointment or I don't know, whatever these Republicans hoped they would get out of seeing Bill Clinton's penis. They never got. But that's the reason. They continue. They'll just never stop. When Bill Clinton is dead and gone, these unconscionable bastards who never got to see Bill Clinton's penis will continue to blame as much as they can of their ineptness, their neo-Nazism, their inability to run this country on Bill Clinton.
We want to see it. We want to see his penis. We want to see it in a court of law. We do. We're entitled.
Jesus. This is news from February 6th. I don't know how it got buried. CNN, I guess CNN just put it on their website. And the fast eye of my senior correspondent out in Minnesota saw it and sent it to me. Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill has been cleared of any wrongdoing he was accused of in the use of so-called classified documents as material for the book that was written by Ron Suskin, right? Price of loyalty. Remember how the White House started to go berserk and that little weasel that conducts the White House press conferences, Scott McClelland, and everybody was making comments, Treasury Department, Paul O'Neill took classified documents. Oh, this son of a bitch is going to go to jail for 1,000 years. Oh, God, God. Well, I didn't know this. Did you know this 5 days ago? Everything that's been cleared, he did not have classified material. The Republicans got their bloomers in a wad because when O'Neill appeared on 60 Minutes, I believe, and held up, I don't know, there was something on 60 Minutes, an interview during which O'Neill held up the document marked secret. So it was a cover page that said secret. There was nothing secret or top secret or classified. But they hate O'Neill. If I were O'Neill, I'd stay off private airplanes. I think O'Neill was a real jerkwad. This is the former CEO of Alcoa, which is one of the most polluting corporations in America. God only knows how much crap, toxic substances they've dumped into the environment and never gave a damn about cleaning it up. I think Paul O'Neill may have had a little bit more economic sense than this Bush crime family, but that doesn't justify O'Neill's existence. O'Neill is another right-wing neo-Nazi thug, criminal. It just so happens that he was not thuggish enough, apparently, for the Bush crime family. So he got fired. And as a result of his firing, he wrote the book, yada, yada, yada. But did anyone know this, that he's been cleared? I didn't. I thought there was some kind of investigation to find out what Paul O'Neill had done, you know, how evil he had been in bringing classified documents out into the civilian world, the real world. I have not read the book. I don't know if I ever will, because anything about George Bush hits my gag reflex. I just want the bastard gone, out of office. I just want him gone. But in the book, so I've been told, O'Neill describes Bush as being like a blind man in a room full of deaf people during his little morning cabinet meetings. That line will stick with me forever. But just in case you didn't know, I didn't, O'Neill has been cleared. Oh, jeez. Speaking of some of these thugs, Rumsfeld says he cannot remember hearing the claim that Iraq could launch weapons of mass destruction within 45 minutes. Bush said it. Blair's government said it in the UK. I knew it. You knew it. The entire world knew it. But this dumb jackass says he can't remember hearing the claim that Iraq could launch weapons of mass destruction in 45 minutes. Blah, 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 blah. He told reporters at a Pentagon briefing, I guess this was yesterday, I don't remember the statement being made, to be perfectly honest. Rumsfeld, I can't say what's really on my mind. They haven't perfected thought invasion yet, and if they could, I would wind up at Gitmo where it concerns these people. Jim in Connecticut sent this in today. Mike, I know we have so many things to be concerned about when it comes to the policies of the Bush administration, but wouldn't it be great to get your hands on the list of young men waiting to join the Texas Air National Guard at the time Bush hopped the line and stole their spot? To take that a step further, you might want to match those names up against the ones on that big black wall in Washington who died during the period that George Bush was supposed to be attending his drills, but remains unaccounted for. The American people need to be reminded that some gave their lives in a cause they did not believe in for George's phony brand of patriotism. Yeah. Fred says, the only difference between Ted Bundy and George Bush, Ted Bundy did his own killing. I think I've heard that before, but that's right, Fred. Now, you remember, this thing about Bush's... being AWOL, Bush is lifting his middle finger to the U.S. military. Bush never finishing anything he's ever started. Bush being a drug-addled freak, which was the reason he couldn't take his flight physical, which is the reason he just hightailed it. And then, waited for his father and his father's connections to bail his ass out of the Air National Guard situation. On Sunday last, Bush said he would release any and all documents related to whether he fulfilled his National Guard duty. And, of course, yesterday, and we had the sound bites for you, with Simple Scotty claiming the documents he was holding up in his palsied hand fulfilled that pledge by Bush to release all the documents. A complete lie, an absolute lie. White House Communications Director Dan Bartlett confirmed that Bush's complete personnel file is being forwarded to Washington from an archive in Denver, but only for review by the White House, not to be released to the public. And then I heard on our news, on this network tonight, that one of the former commanders of the base in Texas where the jackass was supposed to have gone, witnessed in 94 during Bush's run for the governorship, a discussion where it was told, go clean out Bush's file, get rid of all the stuff that might be damaging, and all kinds of stuff was thrown out. This is how the Bush family operates. I mean, they're thugs and criminals, and if something gets in the way, just eliminate it. If it's a person like Paul Wellstone, kill him. If it's a Treasury Secretary like Paul O'Neill, fire him. If it's records about George W. Bush being a deserter or AWOL or a punk, burn them, destroy them. Whatever gets in your way, get rid of it. If you have Saudi nationals and members of the Bin Laden family in your country a few days after an attack has occurred that you were responsible for, and some of those Saudis or Bin Ladens might blow the whistle on your worthless ass, fly them out of the country. Get rid of them. Get rid of the problem. Make it go away. These people would, there's not a self-respecting mafia family in the United States that would welcome the Bushes, any of the Bushes, especially Mom Bush, into the mafia, much less running a country. Anyway, the White House claimed the documents it released show Bush fulfilling his duties as National Guard during the Vietnam era. However, that's a lie. The documents released actually showed that Bush did not receive military pay from May to September 72. There's a five-month gap. It just goes on and on. And it's going to continue to go on. I hope it goes on and on until the American public, those who still have a brain left, can be convinced what George Bush did. He lied. He cheated, he's a sneak, and he needs to be turned out of office as soon as possible.
And I think that you better sit this out in the big light that solves everything. It's hanging upon your lips again.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
An email that I received from Ken Melman, who's the campaign manager of Bush Cheney 04. Last week I warned you, he writes to me, that liberal special interests had pledged to spend over $400 million to defeat President Bush. Since my message to you, the Washington Post has revealed that these liberal groups have already raised over $185 million of their $400 million goal. They have already begun spending it on ads to defeat our president. This confirms that we will face a tough, well-funded Democrat attack campaign. While the Democrats will have endless soft money to spend attacking President Bush, I hope we'll have your help. Will you stand with President Bush and help build the strongest grassroots campaign in history by making a contribution today? Oh, President Bush, he just can't raise money. If they only had a brain.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Kurt, our Salem, Massachusetts bureau chief sent this to me, and I don't know if this was a letter to the editor that Kurt wrote to a newspaper in Massachusetts, or I don't know. When you folks send me stuff, let me know what it is you're sending me, but I want to share it with you. Here's what it says. Apparently, this newspaper ran an editorial that said that Bush's military service, that debate, was not a battle worth fighting for. And I got an email myself in here the other night, I forget from who tried to say the same thing, and I totally disagree. This is what it says. I could not disagree more with your editorial titled Military Service Debate, Not a Battle Worth Fighting. Bush took this country to his war, which has, at the time of this writing, snuffed 530 American patriots' lives, maimed countless thousands of same, killed over 10,000 Iraqis, and has cost $200 billion so far. Again, repeat after me, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. 10 million war protesters worldwide called Bush on his lies a year ago, and you, on your editorial pages, you called us traitors. Hans Blix, Europe, Scott Ritter, and the UN inspectors all saw through Bush's lies 2 years ago. You, on your editorial pages, called them an axis of weasels. Any 10-year-old with a dial-up 12K modem and 7-year-old computer could find out about Bush's lies, but you said it was unpatriotic to ask questions. The media, including this paper, peddled Bush's lies as fact without research. But America may finally be wising up. Why should we now take George at his word about his guard duty? At every opportunity, he says he's a wartime president. He says he learned a lot from Vietnam, even though he wasn't there. He uses our weary troops as photo op props, serves them fake turkey, prances around dressed up as a pilot, outs covert agents protecting our country for spite. Meanwhile, trashing veteran benefits, stretching the military to the breaking point, bankrupting the country, and funneling hundreds of billions of your and my hard-earned taxes to his corporate cronies with no oversight. While he wears our flag, our parents' flag, my flag, on his lapel. While 530 men, women, husbands, wives, sons, and daughters are on the path to glory, rightfully as heroes. This makes Bush fair game. You can lie about war, Iraq, 911 connections, weapons of mass destruction, threats to our national security, lie about the environment, lie about the economic impact of your policy, lie about jobs, numbers, tax cuts, health costs, lie about the national debt, lie about the strength of the dollar, lie about oil, lie on any issue of national discussion. But God help you if you lie about having sex with your girlfriend. That's impeachable. Yeah. Wartime president, my ass. This guy's about as much of a wartime president as I'm the Pope. Yes, Armand, who's calling from Bradenton, Florida.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir.
I got a couple points, but first I want to ask you a question. Is it true or not that Colin Powell's middle name is Rochester?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No, I really
and,
don't.
And as far as Bush, you know, how many people...
That sounds like kind of a racist comment, isn't it, Armin? I don't like racism. That's like you referring to Rochester like, yes, Mr. Benny! Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of racist. I don't like stuff like that. I really, really don't. Okay. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Get your way and it blew up in your face. Don't lie to fool us all. Never said you're sorry. Don't lie to go to war and you laid it all to waste. Yeah.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and were looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Mignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean. It makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rignot and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, our webmaster Mark Marshall says the interview, as brief as it was, with Dennis Kucinich last night here in the studio is at the website. You can listen to it, MikeMalloy.com, right on the front page, I believe, right? It's on the gallery page? Okay. Well, you say gallery, and the email from Mark says main page. So y'all work it out yourselves. Go to MikeMalloy.com, and you'll find the interview last night with Dennis Kucinich if you missed it. All right, we've got just a couple here, but I want you to listen to them. Sound bites from today's press briefing with Simple Scotty McClellan. Apparently, media are not going to back off, at least to crack White House press corps. I hope. Apparently, these guys have found some spine following the lead of Helen Thomas and Russell Mokhiber, apparently. First reporter, Scott, you used some pretty tough language this morning about those who are saying that the president has not answered all of the questions about the National Guard. In fact, Scott, you accused them of gutter politics and trolling for trash. Well, Scott, as you know, back in the 1992 campaign, then-Governor Clinton's Vietnam-era history came up. And near the end of the campaign, then-President George Herbert Walker Bush, in a speech, used the words Slick Willie, talking about Governor Clinton then, and talked about the controversy that the governor had promised to release all his draft records, but had not. And President Pappy Bush at the time said, quote, "You are level with the American people on the draft," end quote. So my question, Scott, is that trolling for trash?
John, we released documents showing that the president fulfilled his duties. Some people are calling us to release documents. The documents spell out that the president fulfilled his duties. I think that you expect the garbage can to be thrown at you in the 11th hour of a campaign, but not 9 months before Election Day.
Well, Scotty, you little jackass, you didn't answer the question, did you? But that's okay. We don't expect you to out here in the real world, Scotty. Another reporter asked about simple Scotty's trash talk here, the trash talk remarks. The reporter says, well, Scott, again, when this controversy came up 10 years ago, the Bush-Quayle campaign on October 15th, 1992, these guys are doing their homework, put out a press release saying that because of the controversy and the questions, that Governor Clinton should release all documents relating to his draft status. And then the campaign went on to list letters that should be released, letters by Clinton to the Selective Service System, to the Reserve Officer Training Corps, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the Department of State and Justice, any foreign embassy or consulate, anything that Clinton had written or had been written about him by any branch of the government ever. Was that a fair standard, Scott?
This is 2004, I would remind you, but let me point out to you that the issue that was before us was whether or not the president had served. There had been some who made an outrageous accusation that the president was AWOL or that he was a deserter, and just outrageous and baseless accusations. I think what you're seeing now is that some are not interested in the facts. Some are more interested in trolling for trash, for political gain. And that's just unfortunate we're seeing that this early in election year. This is nothing but gutter politics.
Trolling for trash, gutter politics. You little rat bastard. Oh, God. Oh, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Now, reporters now really turn up the heat, and this is going to be hard to hear because McClellan always talks over everybody. The reporters turn up the heat asking about Bush's military physical. That's the one he avoided because he was coked up and he was a drug addict and addict and an alcoholic. He couldn't go in and have a blood test, really, without winding up in the brig with cocaine in his blood, right? So reporter says, one of the questions that remain after the release of the documents yesterday, Scott, involves the president's physical in 1972. Are you guys talking about what happened there and why he didn't take it?
I think this was all addressed previously. I think that, again, this goes to show that some are not interested in the facts of whether or not he served. They're interested in trolling for trash and using this issue for partisan political gain.
What was the answer previous to this?
What's the question?
The question of...
Yeah, no, see, I mean, there's some that want us to engage in gutter politics. I'm not going to engage in gutter politics. I'm going to focus on what we're doing to address the priorities for the American people. Yeah, we went through this in 1994, I believe again in 2000. Now, some are trying to bring it up again in 2004.
Because you never answered it, you little weasel, and neither did any member of the Bush crime family, nor did Mr. Bush. Nobody's answered it. Your boy is a liar, a cheat, a sneak, a deserter. He's an addict. He's a dry drunk, and he's a religious psychopath. How's that, huh? Put me in the press gaggle for just one morning. Just one morning. Finally, reporter Elizabeth and others tag-teamed Scotty on Bush's physical, the one he missed because he was a junkie. Elizabeth begins, Scott, can I ask, in 2004, just again, why did the president miss his physical?
Yeah, I put out a response to that question yesterday about whether or not he was rated by his commanders as a pilot.
Can I just ask you, today, in 2004, why did his physical?
You know, Elizabeth, you know, there are some that, again, this is, you know, is a question of whether or not he served. That question has been answered through the documents that were released yesterday and released previously. There's some, Elizabeth, you know, we've already addressed this issue. I'm not going to engage in gutter politics. I'm going to focus on what we're doing to make the world safer, to make the world a better place, and to make America more prosperous. If others want to engage in gutter politics, that's their choice. But I think the American people deserve better.
How does that engage in gutter politics? Did I ask that question?
Well, we've been through these issues, but you see, we went through.
An answer to that question. Too.
No, we went through these. No, we went. We've already addressed this issue.
No, you haven't, you weasel. No, you haven't. God, oh, man. But again, at least, at the very least, some of these reporters are starting to starting to get a little bit porky with this this paid punk shill who stands out there every day with his lies. Man. Gene in Valley City, North Dakota, just emailed this in. Wow, just saw a 60 Minutes 2 segment where the interview was doing a story on the guy who made a fortune on the clothing line called Fat Farm and developing other products and is now a multimillionaire. Anyway, the interviewer asked asked him about hip-hop music and the popularity of it. And the fact that the lyrics talk about the gun and violence and sex that's portrayed in hip-hop. And the guy who started Fat Farm says, worshipping the gun? How about we talk about George Bush and his worshipping guns and violence? They got feisty on the program, and the reporter said, we're not going to talk about Bush. And the Fat Farm owner guy said, why not? Bush and his government are the biggest gangsters there are. That's my man. The reporter was instantly hostile to him. He said, we're not talking about Bush. And they moved on. Interesting. Gene sent this to me from Valley City, North Dakota. And I'm trying to remember the guy who started the Fat Farm, PHAT, for those of you who don't know, the clothing line, hip-hop clothing line. So he says George Bush is a gangster. And that's a tape program, and CBS let it go on the air. Well, cool. But the real problem today, the queers want to get married. Oh, my goodness. Gay people want to get married. They want to destroy the institution of marriage by getting married. Yeah, okay. Now Bush is... Bush knows his ass is going down in flames November 2nd, so he's going to make an attempt to do what his father didn't do, and that's a last-minute appeal to the religious nutcases, the Christian fundamentalist wackos in this country who will do what their preachers tell them to do and all traipse out to the polls November 2nd to vote for this psychopath again. So he's got to throw him some red meat. The red meat happens to be other human beings who happen to be gay. Isn't that nice? I hate Christians. I hate them. Just a deep and abiding hatred that will not go away. I'm not talking about followers of Christ. Followers of Christ have my utter respect. I'm saying I hate Christians.
Yo, Mike, last night you almost said you hated Jews, and you've said you hate Muslims. God, you're just a hater.
Yeah, I've said I hate organized religion. It's foul and vile. But anyway, Bush is falling back further and further and further. Have you noticed this? I read this somewhere. This is not my original thought coming out of my head, but I just read this in the past few days. He's falling further and further back into this evangelical fundamentalist Christian garbage. That, you know, the stuff that says, well, it's true because I believe it's true. I don't care what kind of science you present to me. I don't care what kind of logic or reason or common sense you present. If I don't want to accept that, I won't. Why? Because I believe otherwise. That's what a Christian fundamentalist will tell you. I don't believe the universe is 15 billion years old. I don't believe dinosaurs roamed the earth 80 million years ago. Well, why not? Because it says in the Bible. Yeah, but there's no proof of that. Well, I don't care. I believe it. Bush believes there was reason to attack Iraq. Bush believes there were weapons of mass destruction. There's nothing there. Bush believes that Saddam was a threat to his neighbors. Bush believes he had the ability to launch an attack against us in 45 minutes. And damn the evidence to the contrary. It makes no difference. George W. Bush is a fundamentalist Christian. No matter what you present to him in terms of facts, logic, reason, common sense, it doesn't matter. If he believes a certain way, if he has faith a certain way, that's all that's necessary. And that's fine. If you want to live in your isolated little freaked out world, do it. But when you send 530 Americans to their deaths, when you send 10, 12, 15,000 Iraqis to their deaths, when you blow up a whole damn country, when you tank an economy, when you destroy a nation's environmental laws, when you do all of this stuff, all of this bad, bad stuff, you're going to sit back on your haunches and say, well, I'm doing it because I believe it's right, and think you're going to get away with it? Good God. Henry is calling from where? Luxembourg?
Yeah, your old buddy Henry from McHenry, now in Luxembourg in Europe between Germany and France.
Well, welcome aboard. Welcome to the program, Henry. What time is it over there? Dear God.
It's about 4 a.m. here.
4 a.m.?
Yep. It's a lot. Can't get away from the Mike Malloy show.
Yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's addicting.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here's what I wanted to say. In the States, you took a few of my calls in the Chicago area. I was a way out liberal, far left there. Here in Luxembourg, I'm in a bunker parked next to where Patton is buried, WW2. And here I'm a normal conservative amongst the way out left Frenchies in alien territory.
Oh, yeah?
Here the common notion with the teeny boppers is that the CIA bombed the World Trade Tower so Bush could start a war. That's the common feeling here.
Uh-huh.
If you research Bush, Bush 1, head of the CIA.
Right.
And you go through, research his entire history, you find out that Saddam Hussein was in the CIA pocket for the last 40 years or more.
Well Henry.
Yes?
I got your attention. Listen, we've been talking about this for 2 years. You're bringing it to the program, but you think this is a news flash.
Well, the problem is, I'm sorry. I may be off topic because...
It's not necessarily being off topic, but Henry, we've been talking about this for 2 years. Everybody knows that the Saddam was in the pocket of Reagan Bush, and everybody knows. I mean, what's your point, sir?
my point is I believe that Bush did this war with Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. I mean, we had our... The UN was over there. They documented everything. If you follow what happened with the United Nations. And
okay, Henry, I don't mean to be impolite, but you're hitting on themes we've talked about on this program over and over and over again. I mean, this is, yeah. I mean, it's like it's almost like you're calling me with a news flash. Mike, water is wet! I mean, we understand. Everybody on the program who listens to this program already said anything to comment about Bush's lies on Iraq or maybe the AWL controversy, anything like that?
Like Clinton said, it's the economy, stupid. Only Bush didn't have an economy agenda. He had a military culture agenda. I mean, going back... That's my point.
Okay, all right. Well, your point's taken. Thanks, Henry. I appreciate you checking in all the way from Luxembourg. Robert is calling, our Los Angeles correspondent. Robert, welcome to the program.
It's all about the boobs.
It's all about the boobs?
It's all about Janet Jackson boobs.
I thought it was Schwarzenegger who made it all about the boobs. Oh, never mind. Yeah. It's either Schwarzenegger or I don't know. Do you know that there were two, count them, two two congressional hearings in D.C. today about Janet Jackson's breast, for God's sake. Hold on, Robert. I got to do a break. I'll come back and we'll pick it up right there.
Their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. It's about five before the hour. We're talking with our LA correspondent, Robert. Oh, by the way, before I got an email here, the name I was trying to think of apparently was Russell Simmons, the guy who started Fat Farm Clothing and a media empire on hip-hop music. And Gunner sent me the information. I have these brain farts where I can't remember names that I should remember. And anyway, back to Robert. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, I was going to tell you it was Russell Simmons.
Thank you.
The brother of Run DMC. Real quickly, I was going to mention
you're just getting too slick for me. I didn't know it was his brother.
Yeah, it was Russell. His name is Joey Simmons. Run DMC.
Right.
The one without the glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, that's ancient history, though. I should have known that, too. But anyway, back.
Yeah, but real quickly, I was going to talk about this little this article in the New York Observer about the 9/11 transcripts.
Did you send that to me? Somebody sent that to me. That's a lengthy article.
Yes, it is.
In 30 minutes, they knew. American
yes.
Airlines knew.
Yes.
And everybody knew that
yes.
The names of those three hijackers on that first plane that slammed into the trade towers. Did you send it to me? Who sent me that article? A bunch of people sent me that article from the New York Observer.
It shows you that they had at least had ample time to try to prevent the other three planes from causing any damage.
And did nothing.
Yeah,
I'll tell you something, Robert. Bush and the rest of his cronies that allow this to happen, they construct their own hell, and they're going to burn in it.
Yeah. Real quick, before the hour comes up, I want to, since I talked about boob gab, I also get into it real quickly. But, what's really amazing? Everybody has had an opinion about this Janet Jackson Super Bowl issue.
Right.
Now, regardless if you're liberal or conservative, everybody had something to bring to the platform.
Right.
But what's really amazing as being progressive and liberals, independent, it's amazing that yet this situation never brings about the question regarding, and you bring it up, Mr. Michael Powell, regarding one of the glaring examples of the media conglomeration. MTV is owned by CBS. It's owned by Viacom, which owns CBS and BET and some other cable facilities. So, yeah, this is a situation that needs to be addressed, Janet Jackson doing her thing, and yet,
I know the Janet Jackson thing is ridiculous. It's a tempest in a teapot. The big issue is exactly what you're bringing up, but that's not going to change unless we get this president out of here. So,
exactly.
Robert, thanks for checking in, buddy.
All right, man. Peace out.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004. My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. In another development, the Dallas Morning News reported that retired National Guard Lieutenant Colonel Bill Burkett said Tuesday that in 1997, then-Governor Bush's Chief of Staff Joe Arbaugh told the National Guard Chief to get the Bush file and make certain that there's not anything there that will embarrass the governor. Colonel Burkett said that a few days later in Camp Mabry in Austin, he saw Mr. Bush's file and documents from it discarded in a trash can. He said he recognized the documents as retirement point summaries and pay forms. Bush aides denied any destruction of records in Mr. Bush's personal file. Vice President Dick Cheney's political future was at stake yesterday in Washington, where a grand jury investigation was questioning administration officials about his office's role in leaking the name of a CIA operative for political motives. The inquiry has already questioned the president's spokesman and one of his media advisors over the identification of Valerie Plame, which is developing into one of the administration's main headaches in an election year. Informed sources said last night that 3 of the 5 officials who are the real targets of the probe work or worked for Mr. Cheney. Top House Republicans said Wednesday they will try to cut spending throughout the federal budget this year, ruling out no potential targets. Emerging from a long strategy session with no specific decisions, GOP leaders said the party wants to display its devotion to fiscal discipline this election year. Bush's budget proposed holding most domestic programs to growth of 0.5%. Conservative Republicans want to cut spending by 1%. More after this.
Sting for VH1.
Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
So if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Thursday and Friday of this week, all of next week, and all the following week, and then we're gone. So, excuse me. Do join in the fun and frivolity here if you are so inclined. The phone number is 800-TALK-YES. And to reiterate, to repeat, I've decided, Kathy told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to be on Fox News Channel's Heartland with John Kasich this Saturday at some point between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern time. What a way to celebrate Valentine's Day, huh? They've said either 8:20 or 8:50, so it doesn't look like it's going to be a very long segment. But what the hell? They send a limo to pick you up. You know, they send a limo, they pick you up, they take you to the studio. What?
A limo for Valentine's Day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, right.
Go play with some right wingers.
I'm going to be on apparently with some freak from California named Hugh Hewitt, some right wing talk show host, and John Kasich, who is a Republican, former member of Congress from Ohio, who now has his own Fox News channel program. Heartland with John Kasich. Okay. So I decided, sure, why not? Also, Kathy tells me that we will have a Valentine's Day program for you. I guess that means the music this Friday. So, gosh, don't miss that. Okay, the other big deal today, I guess. Actually, it's not a big deal. But it's starting to irritate the hell out of me. This effort by right-wingers to all this defense of marriage stuff, and marriage is sacred, and the queer shouldn't be allowed to get married. You know, how do these people keep a straight face? People like Henry Hyde, who cheated on his wife, Newt Gingrich, who cheated on his wife, George Pappy Bush, who cheated on his wife. Why go down the list? Every one of these punks and thugs and liars and hypocrites. They're all going to go to hell. See, that's the only way I hope that some of this Christian fundamentalist nonsense is true. I hope the hell part is true. Because these hypocrites, I'll bet you that every single... all right, don't exaggerate, Mike. I'll bet you 60% of all these sponsors in the House, and I think they've got 100 sponsors so far, to get a constitutional amendment saying marriage is only between a man, one man and one woman, and that's all. This is our game, and you faggots can't come over here and play. No. Talk about election year politicking. Do you know how long it takes to pass a constitutional an amendment to the United States Constitution? Do you have any idea? How long did the ERA take? The ERA never got passed. You see, something like Congress shall make no law abridging. What was the ERA? It was only 16 words. You remember what it was, Kathy? Somebody will send it to me. Congress shall make no law abridging freedom because of gender or something. Oh, no! That's too communist! Oh, no! How long did that take till it was finally defeated? 7 or 8 years? 6 years? I don't know. So here are these right-wing dweebs, you know, all these right-wingers who couldn't see Clinton's penis, so they're going to take it out on the queers. You wouldn't let us see Clinton's penis, so we're going to take it out on all the queers. Lesbians, too. Well, lesbians, you know, I kind of like to see lesbians together. I like that. But it's those men queers. I hate that. So sick of this. Aren't you sick of this? Aren't you sick of this? What the hell is marriage? You know, look, hey, yo. There should be two aspects to the marriage ceremony, the civil and the religious, okay? And if you want to be married in a church or a synagogue or a mosque, and you want to go through all that ritualistic nonsense by whatever freaked-out, weird-ass religion you want to subscribe to, go ahead! But if you don't want to do that, or if the freaked out religion doesn't want you because God somehow made a mistake and created you flawed, then you should have the right to have a civil marriage. There's an amendment to the Constitution. Equal protection under the law. What is that the Eighth Amendment? No, that's cruel and unusual punishment. Tenth Amendment? No, that's rights reserved. 14th Amendment. That's right. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Now these right-wing devils want to ensconce in the United States Constitution discrimination. All people are created equal, except the queers. They are not quite equal. They can't marry. They can't have rights of inheritance rights. They can't pass off marital inheritance rights. They can't visit one another when they are sick in the hospital. They can't make decisions, medical decisions, even though this gay couple has been together for 35 years. If one of them gets sick, the other one can't make decisions in a hospital. What the hell is that? Oh, but the queers, you see, they will injure this institution of marriage that heterosexuals hold so sacred that 6 out of 10 defile the marriage vows. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Yes, oh yeah, I agree with that. Until 4 years later, when the sick bastard finds some young honey who wants to pop, and then he goes and cheats, and the old lady finds out and they get a divorce. So much for your sacred vows. Or vice versa. I mean, the woman could do the same thing. But we can't let the queers marry, right? Because the queers, well, I know it's a tautology, but we can't let the queers marry because they're queer! But that doesn't quite make sense.
Well, duh!
Scotty McClellan at the briefing today. On the issue of gay marriage, a reporter says, Scott, on the issue of gay marriage, is the president prepared to issue a declaration of support in favor of a constitutional amendment on gay marriage?
The president does find the recent court ruling in Massachusetts very troubling. The president believes very strongly that marriage is a sacred institution and that we should do what is needed to protect and defend the sanctity of marriage. The president believes very strongly that everybody should be treated with dignity and respect, and I think his record reflects that. But this is about an enduring institution in America, and in order to have a strong America, we should work to make sure that that institution continues to endure.
Yeah. So allowing gay folk to marry would somehow magically destroy the institution of marriage. You know, if George Bush really believes very strongly that marriage is a sacred institution, how does he sit at the same dining table with his freaked out, whoremongering brother Neil, the one who has no problem getting people pregnant, getting venereal diseases, and having whores come to his hotel room in the Far East with his wife, what's her name, Sharon, back here in the United States, wandering around, where's my husband? Where's my husband? Oh, he's screwing another Asian whore? Oh, my God. Well, we took vows of marriage to have and to hold in sickness and health, forsaking all others. If George Bush is so interested in the sacred boundaries of marriage, how does he tolerate his disgusting brother? Oh, never mind. I would love to see a reporter in the Crack White House press corps, bring that one up. Well, Scott, if the president thinks marriage is so sacred and sacrosanct, how in the world do they all get together at Thanksgiving and sit around the table with Babs getting ready to take a knife to the turkey and Neil sitting there, you know, checking to see if it's time to take more of his penicillin pills because he's just dripping all over the place with his latest venereal disease? Huh? What about that, Scott? The sanctity of marriage. I believe that marriage is a sanctified instance. No, see, I can't use words like that. You know what I believe marriage is? I believe it's a contract. I really do. And we need this contract in order to secure the rights and privileges that our tax code is set up. Can you believe it? Yeah, yeah. Our property, you know, inheritance laws, property laws, whether or not a child is legitimate, imagine that. You know, I've just said before, there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. There are only illegitimate people who produce children, who have a, oh, whatever. But marriage should be then a contract. That's all it should be. Here's what I propose to do, says person A. Here's what I propose to do, says person B. And they agree to it. I mean, after all, that's all it is a contract. Now, when the contract is agreed upon within a church, a mosque, or a synagogue, and the terms of the contract are violated, not only do you have grounds for dissolution of the contract, which would be a divorce, but you also run the risk of mightily pissing off your God. You stood in my church and said you wouldn't do this. Here, a thunderbolt. Blah! This stuff is crazy. It's just crazy.
The siren of the ambulance, the deadpan of the cops. Chalk to mark the outline where the boy first drops.
I wish I knew the law that I could sign that would make people love one another.
More deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds
and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Mike in Orlando says, "Hey, Mike, a quick question about the gay marriage amendment. Let's say they did pass a constitutional amendment saying only a man and woman can get married. Well, what if a man, quote, quote, and woman, quote, quote, were to get married, and right after, one of them got a sex change operation. What then? Are they divorced? Is it nullified?" But now the real problem, Mike writes, candidates as well as the public are getting suckered into and sidetracked by these issues of Bush's military service and gay marriage, only to divert everyone's attention from the real issues. We must not let the focus change from the real scandals that are happening now while they're in office. We must not forget the outing of Valerie Plame, the delay to investigate WMDs, and the rush to get over the 911, the loss of jobs, Dick Cheney's Energy Task Force, and Antonin Scalia, yada, 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 yada. Well, Mike, sure. But the gay marriage proposal thing, of course it's a diversion. It's also a demonstration of the sickness of this administration, the sickness of the Republican Party. It's a further demonstration of why they must be turned out of office. And yeah, we have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. Bush's military service, it has to be talked about. Why? Because this pig is the commander-in-chief. He's sending people to die, to kill and be killed, and he's a cowardly deserter. And whatever it takes to bring this bastard down, I will talk about until the hinges on my jaw start to ache. So, Mike, you know, there is no such thing as a more important issue. Anything about George Bush that demonstrates his hypocrisy, his cowardice, his sneakiness, his inability to lead, his chicanery, his duplicity, his deceptions. I don't care what the issue is, whether it's a gay marriage amendment to the U.S. Constitution, or outing the wife of a diplomat who happens to be a CIA operative, or killing thousands of people in Iraq. All of this stuff adds up to the most criminal administration, the most vile and foul and deceptive and rotten in modern history. So, all of it, to the extent that we can, we'll talk about it. Carl emails in, Mike, Bush's repeated plaintive cries of, I'm the war president, during his recent TV interview are not only undignified and pathetic, but highly embarrassing as well. I can think of no other so-called war president during my lifetime who sounded quite so lost and forlorn. He reminded me of the pompous brat who's appointed bathroom captain and then rages red-faced when his classmates rush past him to get to the urinals. I'm the bathroom captain! I'm the bathroom captain! If you have to declaim it, you aren't. Yeah, I got that impression, too. I mean, that is so pathetic. I just wonder if the people propping this little freak up don't realize, I'm a war president! I'm a war president! Robert is calling from New Orleans. Robert, welcome to our bureau chief, as a matter of fact, right?
Yes, I am. Thanks for remembering that. How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, see, every time you call in, you got to tell Kathy, you got to say, this is a New Orleans bureau chief. And then she'll put it up on the board, New Orleans, B.C. Hey, Robert.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll remember to brag about that next time.
There you go.
Oh. Well, you talk about this gay marriage thing, and I was thinking that, you know, it is.
Hey, Robert, guess what? I got to get you to hold on, okay?
Okay.
We hold on. I'll come right back, and we'll chat right after the break.
This I'll tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
We must love a neighbor just like we'd like to love themselves.
Disparage, ask the local gentry, and they will say it's elementary. Try to separate them. It's an illusion. Try.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and were looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Rignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean and makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rigneau and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Here indeed, 27 before the hour. We're talking for a while here about this attempt by Republicans, these neo-Nazis, and George W. Bush to institutionalize bigotry and reactionaryism in the United States Constitution by denying a certain segment of our population the right to marry because they happen to be gay. And we're talking with Robert in New Orleans, our bureau chief there. All right, where were we?
Well, you know, I was going to, you know, pass along a quick joke before I got to my real points, and that is that, you know, I've been in a relationship for 14 years with the same man, and I'm trying to figure out how you get on one knee there and look up at him in his eyes and say, will you please civil union me?
Yeah, it does take some of the punch out of it.
It does, you know. And you know, that's one of the things. Marriage, there's an emotional connection there. When you look in the eye, I'm sure when you looked in Kathy's eyes, however long y'all been together, and you said, will you marry me, there was an emotional connection there that has an impact, I think, on the entire relationship.
I think so. Did we have, open your mind, do we have an emotional impact?
We had lots of impacts during that time. It's hard to remember how many were emotional and how many were physical. We have an anniversary coming up next week, too.
That.
Yeah, we have an anniversary coming up the 23rd of February. We've been married, what, 7 years? This is our seventh anniversary. Plus, we lived together for a year before that. Plus, before that, we dated for about 3 months. So, yeah, there is. And we were married in our house by a friend of mine who claims to be a minister, but if he is, it's a minister of, I don't know, the Church of the Holy Four-Leaf Clover Incorporated. You know what I'm saying? It was more like a civil ceremony, and we got together, declared our allegiance to each other in front of as many friends as we could pack in the living room, about 40 people. But to me, a marriage... If people should have the choice, if they want to be married by, first of all, what the hell's the state got any business telling people who they're supposed to align themselves with anyway?
Well, if the state is going to provide benefits, and which in fact they do for people who are married, then it cannot, in my view, considering the 14th Amendment, it cannot say that those benefits can only be to certain kinds of couples.
Right. Well, that's why they're trying to make it a constitutional amendment.
And that's exactly what they want to do. That and the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution, because full faith and credit is going to work against the Defense of Marriage Act in the long run. And so
right.
I think that's why they're really trying to do that. But the thing is, I think I'm starting to figure out these Republicans. Are these right-wing Republicans? There aren't you know, some people like John McCain's not too bad, but these far-right Republicans, the Jerry Falwells, the Pat Robertson, the Rush Limbaughs, who hate gays and hate everybody that they run across, I was talking to my older sister about my little sister, and it struck me then as to what's going on here. These people have an inferiority complex when it comes to morality. I think mm-hmm. deep inside, they feel morally inferior. When you look and read the Gospels, it doesn't support their right-wing ideology. It doesn't support their Gordon Gekko greed is good kind of attitude about capitalism and laissez-faire this, that, and the other.
No.
It doesn't support that, Mike. And I think deep inside, they feel morally inferior. That's why they want to carry around the superiority card. They need something to make them feel superior and special. It's mm-hmm. just like my little sister, I swear to God, Mike, everything that you talk about with her, she wants to feel superior to you over it. I mean, if you had a tragedy, her tragedy had to be worse. If you had something good, her good thing had to be better.
Right, right.
Okay? And this is the way these people are. They want to feel special and superior because deep inside they feel inferior.
Well, I think a lot of these people understand on some visceral level that if Jesus Christ were walking around America right now, he would be slapping these suckers down left and right. He would be telling these people, how dare you say that you are a follower of mine with your bigotry and your greed and your hate and your murder and
Absolutely.
Your mayhem and your disrespect. You know, I mean, Jesus traveled around with...
Jesus was a liberal.
Well, he traveled around with 12 men. Now, you tell me that of those 12 disciples, one or two or three of them weren't gay, right?
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. And they're just so narrow-minded and so closed-minded. But, and I'm not really sure that they think that one of them wasn't. I just think they don't want to admit it because of this inferiority complex. If one of them was, then that means that's one less group of people that they can feel superior to. By, you know, in trying to balance out their inferiority complex. And so I think that these people just have a psychological problem. I think they really have a problem with the idea of equality, because if we're equal, then why do they feel so inferior?
I know. I understand what you're saying. Robert, thanks for checking in, buddy.
All right, okay. Have a good one.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. You know, all politics is personal, right? I know, it's supposed to be all politics are local, but these discriminatory, hate-filled laws against folks who happen to be gay, I'm going to slip into the religious vernacular here for a minute, although I'm embarrassed to do it, but you know, if we're all God's creation, like we're told, the idea that God's creation could somehow be flawed, certain parts of it, you know, I just can't stand it. I just can't stand it. And one of the reasons I can't stand it, I don't know about you, Truth Seeker, but in the 80s and 90s, I saw so many of my friends and some who were not close friends, acquaintances, but people that I knew, racked with AIDS and die. I cannot tell you how many funerals I went to in the 80s and 90s. It was astonishing. It was just, I'm sure a lot of folks, you know, I'm not bringing this out as a whiny kind of thing. It's just, you go through that. You go through a personal little holocaust like that, small h, where you see three friends die, and then six, then 30, and then and then by extension 70, 80, 100. I mean, this is Atlanta in the 80s and 90s. Atlanta was a magnet for gays from small towns from all over the South, certainly here in Georgia, all over the South. It wasn't New Orleans, it was Atlanta. And because of the things that I did, the things I was involved in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, I made a lot of friends who happened to be gay. Mostly gay men. Some lesbian women, but mostly gay men. And death after death after death after death after death after death. It never stopped. It never stopped. Death. Death. gay plague. I remember when they were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Well, maybe it's caused by the poppers, you know, what was it, Kathy? Amyl nitrate. I remember one time a friend of mine and I were at a party, another a straight friend and me. The two of us went to a party, a lot of gay folks there, and a guy came up with a little bottle. He said, "Here, you want to try this?" "What is it?" It's an Amy. I said, "Sure, we'll try it." And he unscrewed the top and put it under my nose and under Jack's nose. Jesus, I thought I was going to die. That was the worst thing. You do this for fun? Oh, God! It was like death. But, you know, maybe it's amyl nitrate. Maybe it's, what is it? What's causing this? Maybe it's God. Yeah, the gay plague. How many Christian preachers in this country in the 80s said that this was God's retribution on gays? How sick and filthy and disgusting was that? So that's where part of it comes from in me, that this reaction. Aside from the fact that, you know, once I got out of my teens and got over my gay bashing, you know, teenage boy growing up in Toledo, Ohio in the 50s, oh, God, if we saw somebody who's gay, hey, you queer! You know, that kind of thing. But once I got some consciousness about things, and actually, believe it or not, it came from being spending a lot of time as a Methodist when I was a teenager, and listening to what the sermons were about, you know, God loves all of his creation. And some of that penetrated into my brain. Well, then that means, you know, folks who are gay, God loves. Folks who are a different race from me, God loves. Folks who are a different gender from me, God loves. Folks who are stupider than me, God loves. You know, all of a sudden you have those blinding moments when you're 16, 17. You're like, oh, my God, is that what the message is? And as much as I try to escape from religious upbringing, because I don't believe it's necessary, ethical upbringing, there's some ethics in religion, sure. But as much as I try to escape that, there was a lot of stuff taught to me in the Methodist Church that had to do with truly loving, respecting your fellow man, generically speaking. Fellow man, fellow woman, fellow whatever. And I think it was through, there was some consciousness raising on my part as a result of going to Methodist church services where it concerned racism, homophobia, whatever sort of sexism, gender discrimination that I might have felt. I mean, what the hell? I was raised a white male in the 50s. Are you kidding? I was superior to everybody. Queers, Negroes, women, foreigners. I'm a white man! You know, that kind of thing. But having seen so many people that I cared about, so many people that I worked with, so many people that worked on the same magazine, same newspaper, same theater group, same whatever, same CNN, same radio stations, on and on and on, the gay folk that I knew, just people that I knew, just people I came in contact with who died because they were doing the same thing I was doing, only they were doing it with the same gender. What were you doing, Mike? Having sex with everybody I could back then. But I didn't have sex with anybody who had AIDS because all of my sex partners, I guess, this is the reason, all of my sex partners were women. And it wasn't coming through women. And other people who were just as sexually active as I was were dying. So when these issues come up about gay rights or gay marriage or gay stability or gay love or gay whatever, you know, it's like, why are we still doing this? Why, you know, how stupid, how ridiculous. Here are people who are denied, and it is equal protection under the law. Under the law, they are denied it. They are denied it by these state laws and ordinances, and then this Defense of Marriage Act. Jesus. I wonder how Henry Hyde voted on that. When you take a look at the pantheon of adulterers in the Republican Party, oh, period, my, period, God, period. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just getting way off in left field here. Walter is calling from Seattle. Walter, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
And welcome from the vast homosexual threat to America. I am proud to be one of those people.
You're right. Well, George Bush is scared to death of you.
I know, and, well, as he should be.
You're right. You'll go into his neighborhood and fix it up or something.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That,
you know, decorate his house. That'll get him.
That's the one thing he's done that he has done for me. He's fired me up and gotten me involved to get him out of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted to, it just bites me every time that I hear somebody, a senator who's in, you know, who's going to be signing on to the Federal Marriage Amendment Act. Every one of those voted, you know, unanimously on discrimination based on genetics back in the fall last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
it passed unanimously. And, I mean, if these guys can't see that, you know, it's genetic, well, they need to look at the studies out there.
But even if it weren't. What business is it, you know, these are Republicans who are doing this. What business is it of the government, the federal government, if two people, regardless of gender, same or different, who want to form a contract, a legal binding contract, I don't care what you call it marriage, call it civil union, I don't give a damn, but it should be acknowledged on an equal basis that this couple, whether it's man-woman, woman-man, man-man, woman-woman, that this couple has chosen to be married. They should have the right to go to a city hall as long as government is going to get involved. Then they should have a right to go to city hall and make their contract. And if they are of a certain religious persuasion and their religion says, oops, sorry, you can't do that. Okay, then change religions or tell the religion to kiss your collective ass and go ahead and get married in a civil union. But calling it something other than what it is ludicrous. I don't understand the government, the Republican-controlled government saying, well, no, people can't, people of the same gender can't form these unions. I mean, what is that? Hold on, Walter. I've got to do a break here, and I'll come back. And I'm not using the term civil union the way these right-wingers are. To me, it's marriage. The word marriage, look it up in the dictionary. It's a combining. You know, this, quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Love stinks.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street, USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Show. Apparently, Simple Scotty missed the memo from Bush stating that everybody had to stop trying to link Saddam to 911.
The most dangerous threat we face in a post-September 11th world is the nexus between outlaw regimes with weapons of mass destruction and terrorists. Saddam Hussein had a history of weapons of mass destruction.
Maybe before you were born, you little jackass! Did Scotty not get the memo? There is no connection between 9/11 and Saddam. It came out of the Bush bastard's own mouth. It's come out of all their mouths. Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, Colin Powell, all of them. Scotty, hello.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Friday night.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Boy, just time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? All right, back to Walter, who's called in from Seattle. Walter, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Okay. My last thing I really wanted to say was I think George Bush needs to take his little map out that's got the big old black mark of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Since we bombed it all to hell, and, you know, go a little bit north of there, northwest of there, and find the Netherlands and find out it's not this big old black hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a pit. And, you know, they've had a gay marriage there for, what, 4 or 5 years now, I think?
Doesn't Canada?
Yeah, Canada as well. Well, you know, I hope it's not a pit because I'm going there this weekend. So.
Yeah. I like I've said before, I don't understand playing to the brain dead who support George Bush by bringing this issue up, an amendment for God's sake to the Constitution, trying to define marriage. It's insanity. But that's where we live, Walter.
Yeah. The same people who support this are the same people who say they support Bush because Clinton. Hell, a bit too much fun.
You're right. I hear you. Thanks, Walter.
Yeah.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Marcia and Spitfire both sent it in to me. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. To me, that's the Equal Rights Amendment. That's only Section 1. Section 2, the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And Section 3, this amendment shall take effect 2 years after the date of ratification. Marcia says, passed by Congress and sent to the states for ratification in 1972, the 7-year limit was extended, and in 1982, when time was up, 35 of the states needed to ratify had done so, 3 short of the 38 required. Believe me, I marched and marched and lobbied and protested, and once we even held up a wedding in the Mormon temple in Maryland by a bunch of us hooligans chaining ourselves to a fence so the wedding couple couldn't get off the property. I was not one of the chainees, but I vigiled every Wednesday at the White House for a long time. Today, if we tried to vigil at the White House for anything, we'd probably be shot or sent to Gitmo. Okay, we have miles to go before we sleep here. Looking at the board here, who's on hold? We'll take one more call on the gay marriage issue, and then we're going to move on. What has happened to Lou Dobbs?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephens, good day. On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. In another development, the Dallas Morning News reported that retired National Guard Lieutenant Colonel Bill Burkett said Tuesday that in 1997, then-Governor Bush's Chief of Staff Joe Arbaugh told the National Guard Chief to get the Bush file and make certain that there's not anything there that will embarrass the governor. Colonel Burkett said that a few days later in Camp Mabry in Austin, he saw Mr. Bush's file and documents from it discarded in a trash can. He said he recognized the documents as retirement point summaries and pay forms. Bush aides denied any destruction of records in Mr. Bush's personal file. A suicide car bomb killed 47 people at an Army recruitment center in Baghdad Wednesday, taking the death toll to about 102 attacks on Iraqis working with the U.S. occupation forces within 24 hours. Medical staff said hospitals had taken in 44 dead and 55 wounded, of whom at least three later died of their wounds. Some 53 people were killed Tuesday in a similar attack on Iraqis lining up for jobs at a police station. Most of Wednesday's victims were new. Republicans said Wednesday they will try to cut spending throughout the federal budget this year, ruling out no potential targets. Emerging from a long strategy session with no specific decisions, GOP leaders said the party wants to display its devotion to fiscal discipline this election year. Bush's budget proposed holding most domestic programs to growth of 0.5%. Conservative Republicans want to cut spending by 1%. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A Sicilian town is struggling to work out why dozens of household items from fridge freezers to furniture keep mysteriously bursting into flame, terrifying locals and sparking theories of demonic intervention. Some fires have spread to engulf homes, and police temporarily evacuated some 40 residents. Since mid-January, dozens of electrical goods and pieces of furniture have spontaneously gone up in flames, causing huge damage in Canneto di Caronia, a small town on the Mediterranean island's rocky coast. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Michael Powell is the kind of guy who would have rooted for Goliath over David. In fact, if Powell's performance as head of the Federal Communications Commission is any indicator, he would have even given the slingshot to the giant. Throughout his tenure at the FCC, Powell has pushed to unregulate the media giant's use of our public airwaves and to eliminate any restrictions on how much of our nation's media any one conglomerate can control. Already, only five of these conglomerates, Disney, Viacom, GE, Time Warner, and News Corp, control the five largest TV networks, 70% of the primetime television market, most cable channels, and extensive holdings in radio, publishing, movies, records, and the Internet. But that's not enough for Powell and the Bush White House. Last June, they pushed through the FCC a plan that essentially would take the lid off of media ownership rules. In your city, for example, one conglomerate could own three television stations, the local newspaper, and as many as eight radio stations. In my state of Texas, the rules would allow any two conglomerates to take over nearly half of the state's commercial TV stations, all of the major newspapers, and 40% of the radio stations. With such ownership comes control of the news, information, and cultural expressions that we get. It's not a matter of the fox being in the hen house. The fox would own the hen house. That's why more than 2 million Americans sent letters and emails to protest the FCC's rules, and why several groups have obtained a court injunction to stop the rules from taking effect until court review. Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I wasn't expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
a different... I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. So I think we're going to take one more call here from Elizabeth in Central Ohio on the gay marriage issue, and we're going to boogie on. Don't forget, I'm going to be on Fox News Channel's Heartland with John Kasich this Saturday, probably around 8:15, 8:20, 8:30, 8:40, I don't know, in the evening, with some freak named Hugh Hewitt, talk show host, I guess. You know, if you want a few laughs, tune in. I plan on getting a facelift between now and then, but I guess not going to have time. No, I'm sorry. Last time I was on CNN, I looked at the tape. Kathy made it and went, Jesus, God, who's the old guy?
I told you, you've got to let me do your makeup. Me.
Well, if you use lots of adhesive tape and pull the skin up, that's, you know. Regarding that, I said earlier that at least Fox provides a limo. They pick us up in a limo. And Leslie, Grandpa B in Deadwood, Oregon, sent this in. He said, Mike, Kathy, pick up Malloy in a black limo, Valentine's Day, Heartland, John Kay with a Tommy gun. You guys have to be kidding. You better take a yellow cab and your shotgun. The only thing missing is a number 13. Valentine's Day is a 14th. Is 14 a lucky number?
Friday the 13th isn't lucky.
That's right. Friday the 13th, the day before. So, Leslie, no, don't worry, Leslie. We'll be fine. Grandpa B, don't worry, we'll be fine. I hope. I don't know, you know.
I know. Here's what we'll do. Let's call Malloy and tell him it's going to be Foxed. And we'll send a limo. And we'll get his pregnant old lady, too, you know. We'll get them both in the car.
That's kind of spooky, isn't it? Elizabeth is calling from Central Ohio. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Mike. Very good to hear you again, and I wish you could continue forever and ever and ever. And, yes, he's going to give up Jessica if she cries hard enough, referring to that commercial that we hear all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I would like to introduce, well, perhaps some of your audience has knowledge about this author. I think he's one of the most outstanding authors in the world at explaining these subjects that are tearing this country apart. His name is John Bogwell, and I bought his books during the 90s, and this one is entitled Same-Sex Unions in Pre-Modern Europe. And I would really recommend everybody run down to their library and get this book. It is so enriching, rewarding, and enlightening.
And I'm guessing that same-sex unions in pre-modern Europe were very common.
They weren't, I won't say common, but they weren't looked upon as being completely the way it's going, you know, the way people are referring them to today.
Right.
Actually, marriage wasn't considered a sacrament for a long, long time, not till after the first millennium, if I understand the history correct. And the wedding ceremony, it was not considered a sacred ceremony because early on, the couple could not be married inside the church because they weren't holy enough. They weren't celibate.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't good enough to be married inside the house of God. But back then, the church men were having such a time defining what marriage is and whether it's going to be holy or not. But they even had a problem with Joseph and Mary, who never consummated their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of a funny thing, I think, to throw into this argument.
Yeah, you know. My understanding of the Gospels is that Joseph and Mary, at the time of her pregnancy, at the time of the trip to Bethlehem, weren't even married.
Right, yes, and that's it. The churchmen still haven't figured out how to explain all that to the...
Maybe because people just didn't get married 2,000 years ago.
Well, they didn't. They followed the so-called pagan customs because it took mutual consent, and then
right.
the church would give them their blessing because they followed with a lot of the Roman customs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the early churchmen, they looked at matrimony not as what God chose for the people of the world, but simply a control
mm-hmm.
or human weakness. And this Chrysostom, yes, he said marriage is the remedy for concupiscence. I can't pronounce that right. Concupiscence. Okay. And couples were generally instructed to refrain from consummation for at least 3 nights after the ceremony. In mm-hmm. some areas, couples being impure after observing this injunction could not enter a church for up to 30 days after the ceremony. So read John Boswell, everybody. He is wonderful. He has the most angelic face I've ever seen. And I would recommend him to everybody to get a little bit of background on what's bothering this country.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much. I appreciate you checking out. I know you don't call that often, but thank you. I appreciate it.
And please keep us all aware of where you'll be. Right?
I will. I'll do it.
Okay.
I'll do the
love
best I can.
Love you all.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Bye now.
You have a nice evening. Take care. Y'all are familiar with the legend of the androgynes? You know, the creatures that were both male and female. From, was it Greek mythology? Roman mythology?
Head Big and the Angry Inch.
Well, there's that, too. But long before we went to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch, we were familiar with the legend of the androgynes. Got this from Rick in Bellingham. Mike, it never ceases to amaze me when Christians defend the so-called sanctity of marriage on the basis that it was originally intended to happen between a man and a woman. Such a claim belies their ignorance about the origins of marriage. When you look into traditions prior to Christianity, you find stories concerning the creation of humanity. Many of those stories concern the primordial form of humanity in which two humans were bundled together as one. In some traditions, the gods were concerned that such a coupling was too powerful and therefore split the beings into two separate halves. This is the androgyne legend that Rick's talking about. In Greek mythology, some of those halves became a male-female pair, some male-male pairs, and others female-female. The idea followed that you sought out your other half on that basis. Some traditions that predate Christianity implicitly accept gay couplings on that basis, and it's doubtless that Christianity borrowed from those concepts. So when Christians spout off about tradition and sanctity and the original intent of marriage, it's obvious they have no idea where their own beliefs originate. If they went back far enough, they would find the true origins to be strikingly different from what they push today. What has happened to Lou Dobbs? Have you all noticed? It's on his program on CNN. I know over the past couple of months he's been highlighting and profiling. He started out profiling companies that were moving jobs out of the United States. Now, I always considered Lou Dobbs to be the quintessential capitalist apologist, right-winger. I've come to find out, Kathy follows this closer than I have, but he has really been assaulting so to speak, verbally assaulting George Bush. He has no respect for Bush whatsoever, sees him as the inept, incompetent freak that he is. Now, that may be an indication that Bush's capitalism is not the kind of capitalism that Lou Dobbs would like to practice, or it may mean that Lou Dobbs is not the right-wing freak to the extent that I thought he was. He has been one of the few network, programs that have challenged the wisdom on trade and immigration policies put out there by the Bush crime family. He's had these regular reports on the social and economic impact of illegal immigration and then, of course, his Exporting America series. Recently, Dobbs, and you can get this, just go to his website, cnn.com/Lou, I believe it's there somewhere. He posted a list of over 150 major U.S. companies that are leading this outsourcing boom. And when you look at the names, of course, they are the leading names of American corporations. He's been particularly pissed off here in the past few days because of what Bush said the other day. Not Bush, but this guy Gregory, what's his name? Mankiw? How do you pronounce this guy's name? He is a chairman of Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. And the statement, this guy made the statement, he said the embrace of foreign outsourcing is just a new way of doing international trade, that exporting our jobs overseas will actually help U.S. workers. Now, there's apparently an economic report, a 400-page economic report put together by Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. And the point they try to make, once again, of course, this is one of the basic tenets of capitalism, that human resource is just another resource. You use the humans until you can't use them anymore, or until you find humans that you can get cheaper than the humans that you're using now, so you discard the more expensive humans and move on to the cheaper humans. This is what capitalism does, and I don't give a damn if you're a socialist, a communist, a capitalist, a Republican, a Democrat. It doesn't make any difference. Capitalism treats human beings like interchangeable parts on a gear. We have no value to capitalism whatsoever. None whatsoever, humans. Workers have no value whatsoever, only insofar as they keep the engine of capitalism moving. American workers are having the bejesus beat out of them with this so-called efficiency, productivity. We work harder and longer and more productive than any other workforce on the planet, with the possible exception soon of the Chinese, who are working like madmen and madwomen because their plan is to dominate the planet within the next 30 or 40 years, which they surely will. But American workers have always been the ones who got paid. That would be the white people. The ones who were ripped off of their labor, that would be the black people in the 18th and 19th centuries in this country and beyond. Let's remember that we had a multi-million person workforce in this country that worked for nothing, nothing. And those were the slaves. And on the backs of black people, that's how the white people built their fortunes. So we've had an advantage in this country, and I put quotes around the word advantage, because for two, three centuries, we had slave labor that we didn't have to pay for. Now, capitalism learned a very important lesson from that. Capitalism took a look at that and said, oh my Christ, you mean if I can get people to work for nothing, look how I'm going to, oh wow, this is great. And from slavery, it's a straight line from slavery in the 19th century and 18th century in this country to Walmart today.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
So Bush's so-called Council of Economic Advisors have put together this 400-plus page report. And it contains, apparently, according to LA Times, a detailed diagnosis of the forces that contributed to the economic slowdown, recession, whatever you want to call it, that began when Bush took over the White House. The report also has this incredible, again, according to the Times, defense of the policies that Bush has pursued to fight. the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit the highest number it's hit in two and a half years today, as though that were the indicator, and it is not. It is not an indication of a country's this country's economic health. That one indicator has absolutely very little, in fact, to do with the country's economic health. But the report also states that the recession actually began in late 2000, before Bush took office. This is what just thoroughly pisses me off. Instead of in March 2001, now that date has been certified as the official recession beginning date by the panel of the National Bureau of Economic Research, which has forgotten more about economics than anybody Bush could ever put on one of these phony-ass boards would ever know. But it goes. The report goes on and on. The LA Times has an article about it, and I'll post the link at the website, and you can check it out yourself. But Lou Dobbs has been astonishingly appealing to me in his presentation of his program over the past several weeks. I have picked up two or three of his programs. I watched tonight, and I'm surprised. Now, again, I may be seeing a liberal where one doesn't exist. Maybe what Dobbs might be just a pure capitalist with a heart, where he wants the jobs to stay here and people to make a decent living here, so that the engine of this economy will continue to chug along. But I'll deal with a capitalist with a heart any day of the week. It's these pigs, the greedy, filthy pigs that decide that a good job that pays $20, $25, $30 an hour to hardworking industrial worker should be farmed out to another country where people will make $20, $25, $30 a week. Kathy and I are watching Dobbs, and I were watching some reports, and we're just wondering, what the hell? If these guys totally succeed in exporting jobs, in driving wages down, all for the sole purpose of producing Walmart prices, well, the obvious question pops up. What the hell are people like me and you going to use to buy the products? What are we going to use if all of us are working for crappy wages? Now, again, capitalism learned in this country. It was a great experiment. You know, first let's do genocide on the people who this country belongs to. Then let's bring in slaves. And wow, look at the productivity in 17th century America, in 18th century America, in 19th century America. Gee, look, isn't this wonderful? Well, for Christ's sake, with millions of slaves, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? In a manner of speaking, from the standpoint of pure capitalism. But here we have Lou Dobbs bemoaning the fact and giving hell to the corporations who are exporting jobs. It's astonishing. 2 million jobs lost since this thug took office. And newspaper headlines across the country tell readers of Bush's new support for the practice of wealthy corporations continuing to eliminate U.S. jobs, shipping them to low-wage countries, and saying this is a good thing. Not the newspapers, not the newspapers, but the Bush crime family. It's just unbelievable. And what, 48% of the American public still support this unconscionable pissant. Yeah, that's a good word, pissant.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio.
The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and were looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Rignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean and makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rignot and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. So Lou Dobbs has been focusing on these corporations that export jobs to countries where they can get the wages for a tenth, a hundredth, a thousandth of what American workers are to be paid. And this statement by Bush's Council of Economic Advisors and Bush that outsourcing jobs, sending them overseas, is good for the American economy, American workers. The Seattle Times had a headline that read, Bush Report, Sending Jobs Overseas Helps U.S. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said, Bush Economic Report Praises Outsourcing Jobs. And the Arizona Republic said, Bush Report Lauds Outsourcing Jobs. Now, the obvious. While this is all a horrifying problem for millions of us in this country, who are unemployed, will become unemployed, have been unemployed, and suffering from stagnating wages in this country. Well, all this is awful for us. Hey, in India? India? China, where thousands of good-paying white-collar U.S. jobs have moved? The headlines in India read, according to the Daily Mislead, Bush aides. Outsourcing is a win-win for India. The story said the Bush crime family believes exporting jobs to India and other low-wage countries, quote, is a win-win for both exporter and importer, close quote. Failing, of course, to explain how this is a win for American workers who this unconscionable bastard in the White House continues to say he cares about, right? I hate this. They're saying that outsourcing is just another way of doing international trade. So all of these companies. Where in the hell's the list, Kathy? I've got the list here someplace. The list of the companies is just astonishing. So sending jobs overseas, you see, to the Bush crime family is a good thing. Meanwhile, back here in this country, the pissant takes credit for 1,000 jobs created in December, and how, what was it, 112? What was it, Kathy? It was 120,000 jobs created, but
supposedly 112,000 created in January, but they didn't count the fact that 117,000 jobs were lost.
So it's a net loss of 5,000. 2.5 million jobs lost since this crime family took over, and now they say that a continuing outflow of American jobs, a hemorrhaging of incomes for Americans, is good. God, I hate these people. God, I hate these people. All right. Back to the telephone. This is Talk Radio, after all. Jerry in Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Jerry. Or Nevada. I keep saying Nevada, and you're not supposed to. Jerry is calling from Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Jerry.
Well, I'm flattered that you remembered, because I didn't even tell Kathy it was Nevada. She just remembered Sparks. So.
Who could forget a name like Sparks, Nevada, my friend?
You know, I'm glad you present some of your stuff with some humor sometimes, because otherwise they go around mad all the time like a Republicans do.
Yeah, I know. I hear that.
It helps out. I'm kind of entertained with Limbaugh today whining. I tuned him in just to hear him whine, because I knew he was going to do it about the attacks on Bush's character. And I distinctly remember back in 2000 when some bogus story came up about Gore, and Rush was blathering and blathering that, oh, good, his character is on the table now. It's up for discussion.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing happened with Russert. A couple months ago, he was interviewing Carol Moseley Brown, and he had to change the subject to Hillary. And what would happen? Was that in a reflection on her character if she changes her mind and run mm-hmm. and decides to run?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they know is character attacks anyway.
Oh, I know. They're just a clutch of sick bastards. This attempt now to link John Kerry with Jane Fonda, both of whom have my undying respect for their opposition to the war in Southeast Asia. Now, granted, Jane Fonda apologized for showing up in Hanoi and sitting on the a barrel of an anti-aircraft gun with the gun crew and making some of the comments that she said that she made in North Korea. I'm sorry, North Vietnam. But, you know, if you take a look at the entire, if you put that in context, what Jane Fonda did was not even a pimple on Robert McNamara's ass, as he sent 58,000 Americans to die and 2 million Southeast Asians to die. So what's going on now, they're linking, trying to link, these right-wing freaks are trying to link Jane Fonda, you know, the great American traitor, and John Kerry. Because he was one of the founders of Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and he attended anti-war rallies at which Jane Fonda attended too, even though the two of them apparently didn't know each other.
And I saw Drudge tonight drugged up some letter that Kerry had signed the state legislature in Massachusetts not to pass as some kind of an unconstitutional ban against gay marriage the last time they tried it out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they're oddly enough, or maybe not so oddly, they can read, I think, the Republican operatives like Drudge, like Limbaugh, like O'Reilly, like the rest of these jack-legged thugs, and the Bush crime family. They see what's coming. There's a freight train coming. They know they're going to lose the White House. I don't know about the House and the Senate. So they're pulling out all the stops. They will try anything and everything to stop Kerry. They're terrified of Kerry simply because he, for whatever reason, he was in the Navy. He did save somebody's life. He killed people, too, but he was in combat. Mm-hmm. And George Bush was a coward who played a grab ass in Alabama with God knows who, while other people were going to die. And Rove and the rest of these thugs are terrified of that.
And Kerry has that one story about he wouldn't be here today if that VC had pulled the trigger in an RPG that he had aimed at him. He just couldn't pull the trigger. So
yeah.
Well, I'm going to be at the Nevada caucuses on Saturday, but I'm going to tape you on TV, so I'll be looking for it.
Well, all right. Well,
thank you, Mike.
Thanks for checking in, Jerry. Fox News Channel. Woo! Yeah, right. Oh, God. Well, maybe somebody will see it and say, hey, let's offer this guy a job. That's the main reason we're going. Nelson is calling from Syracuse, New York. Hey, Nelson.
Hey, Mike. No one watching Fox is going to offer you a job.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't understand that.
No one who watches Fox.
Fox, right.
He's going to offer you a job.
well, but maybe, Nelson, some liberal network or radio station will be tuned in and they'll say, hey, look, there's a liberal. Let's hire him. I've got a hope, Nelson, okay?
Well, I can talk about AIDS or Bush.
Talk about Bush.
Okay. The thing that I can't believe is Scotty McClellan goes on TV and he seems to be proud to say, look, I have papers that prove Bush got paid for time he may not have served.
Right.
You know, aren't we presidents supposed to have exemplary past?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
We get presidents and the Rhodes Scholars, the war heroes.
And then we get Bush. Right.
Then we could be proud of.
Yeah, I was real proud of Reagan. He was a great actor. No, I understand what you're saying, but George W. Bush has been a failure at everything he's ever done. He's done nothing that amounted to a damn thing. And now this thing about avoiding the military, you know what intrigues me, Nelson? Why didn't this come out? Why didn't the press talk about this more in 2000? This issue is not a new issue. This issue has been around for 30 years.
I know, but wasn't it more of a rumor?
No.
In 2000,
no.
It wasn't?
No, the press knew. It's just that they did not, media did not pick this story up the way they have this time. Plus, I can't remember the guy who first set up the website, smokinggun.com, I believe was the name of it, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I'm sorry, about 4 years ago. No, I take it back, 5 years ago, about Bush's record or lack thereof, how he was a deserter and went AWOL and so on and so on. And nobody in mainstream media would pick it up. I used to talk about it on WLS in Chicago, and people would say, well, where are you getting the information? I said, well, there's this website. And you got to remember, 5-6 years ago, a website was not as common as it is now.
Right.
And people were not giving as much credence to a website as they would have to ABC or CBS or NBC or what have you. But the story's been out there for 5 years in regarding Bush. Actually, it was out there in '94 when he ran for governorship of Texas, but nobody picked up on it. Nobody picked up on it.
They're also proud of him for being a thief, just for quitting drinking when he was 40.
40, right.
You know what? Right. I mean,
I quit drinking when I was 40. I stopped doing cocaine when I was 30.
It's like saying, I'm so proud of my son, he didn't fail remedial reading.
There you go. Or worse.
Or worse.
Or worse.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. I just hope the story continues to have legs. I hope the crack White House press corps doesn't give up on this. And I hope when it appears it's going to be Kerry, when Kerry and Bush get into debates, I hope it comes up.
I hope so.
Nelson, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Kaz is calling from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Hey, Kaz.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for holding on. I know you've been holding on a long time.
Oh no, I got I got old Fox system. I got on late.
Oh, okay.
anyways, I had a couple of points I was gonna bring up, but the fellow before this last one, he brought up that deal on the Dilla had Rush Limbaugh there. He was yesterday he was cranking on Kerry quite a bit better on anyways. But they had come up with a story that supposedly Ollie North had gotten from some general, North Vietnamese general, that was thanking Kerry or guys like Kerry for doing a protesting, because if it wasn't for them guys, that they would have probably surrendered.
Well, yeah, of course.
This is on Limbaugh. Yeah, I know it's BS, but I mean...
You know, Oliver North and Rush Limbaugh, there is a couple that deserves a civil union. Those two, they deserve to be together. They should be together. Rush has been lusting after Oliver North in his uniform ever since the hearings during the Reagan crime family. Limbaugh is, I wonder if Limbaugh will ever come out of the closet, declare himself, and be a proud gay man. I shudder to think what would happen with...
He's more like a child molester to me.
Well, I think he's just a very deeply closeted gay man. Any gay person will tell you that when you stay in the closet like that, you become sicker and sicker and sicker. But I swear to God, Limbaugh has demonstrated nothing but lust for Oliver North for the past 20 years. I just wish he would come out and declare himself and try to get Ollie to leave his wife and form a civil union.
Oh, but old Ollie Klink North. I mean, I was in the Marine Corps, and I think Ollie Klink North I think he shamed not only the American, the Marine Corps uniform, but the American uniform.
I think you're right.
He was a filthy traitor. He served, but he had his coming up and in the black market. The story there.
Oliver North is a criminal.
Who better to coin a phrase about Bill Clinton? Just because you weren't found guilty doesn't mean you're not guilty. I mean, I remember a while back the Iran-Contra hearings, and then I wanted to make one more point. About these right wingers and his rapture. I was approached by a minister here on these, but anyways, he's quoting me Rush Limbaugh, and I said, my God, this kind of shit the Rush says. And the very first thing that comes out of his mouth after that was, well, so what? Kennedy was a killer.
Oh, God.
I said, what?
Yeah.
I told him, you're going to hell, man. He starts, oh, no, I'm not going to hell. The Lord is my Lord. God is my Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I said, man, I can't imagine God as a right-wing wacko. I just can't. But can you imagine heaven, if there was a heaven, full of all these? I mean, all the way back from...
No, absolutely not.
Spending an eternity up there with these people?
No, I'd kill myself. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I could do that.
I don't know, but I'd be digging down as fast as I could.
I hear you. Kaz, thanks for checking in. I'll tell you something, Kaz. If you want to read something really good regarding what you're talking about heaven full of these self-righteous freaks, read some of the later works by Mark Twain. I've talked about this before on the program. There's a bunch of things he wrote, Eve's Diary, Adam's Diary, Letters to the Earth, Letters from the Earth, Methuselah's Diary. You've just got to get some Mark Twain. You know, you're probably like most of us, Kaz. You've read Huckleberry Finn, you've read Tom Sawyer, you've read Innocence Abroad, you've read, some of the more well-known stuff of Twain. But some of the stuff, there's a book called The Damned Human Race. I've talked about it. That is his reporting, among other things, from the Spanish-American War in the Philippines. But get this stuff that Mark Twain wrote about heaven and hell and angels and God. It is just hysterical. Kaz, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. Quick break. We'll be right back. To our country.
I'm putting all you neo-Nazi neocons on notice. We're taking
our country. We want it back now.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Almost time to go home. Zachary is calling from San Diego. Hey, Zach.
Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I heard couple of minutes ago, actually, like 15 minutes ago, you asked, when you were talking about Walmart,
mm-hmm.
you asked, what are we going to spend our money?
Yeah, right.
How are we going to spend our money? Well, you don't know. Our federal issued Walmart card will be prepaid for us.
Oh,
that will be given to us in substitution for a week.
No, no, Zachary. No, please, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
You're going to be on Fox News?
That's the plan.
All right, my favorite channel.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. Sunday, either they said between 8 and 9, and they called back and said either 8:20 or 8:50. So it's not going to be a very long segment, which is fine with me. But, you know, you get a free ride in a limo. How often do you get that, right?
Yep. On Valentine's Day, too.
Yeah, on Valentine's Day, that's right.
Multiplied by News Corp. And also, but I regret falling asleep the second half of last night's program because Dennis Kucinich was on, right? And I had to listen to it on the White Rose Society archive.
Okay, well, you can hear the interview. It's at my website now, my webmaster.
Yeah, I listened to it. It was just that I was, you know, hope to call him because I just got back from the volunteer headquarters.
He's heading out there. Kucinich is coming out there.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to meet him, I hope.
Good for you.
But I wanted to talk to him about how the demographics I expected when I was canvassing a precinct for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was refreshing to see, maybe 10 out of the 50 people like knew about Kucinich, and a couple of them were those same people who we need to convince to vote for him in the primaries, who were like, oh yeah, we support him, but you know, we need to vote for someone who wins. And we talked to him, and one guy we even convinced to a degree where he let us like put the bumper sticker on his car. So that was
really
refreshing, yeah.
Well, that's cool. Listen, if you do get a chance to meet him while he's out there, tell him that you're our San Diego correspondent, okay?
All right.
Yeah, I mean, just let him know that he really is a good guy. But aside from that, he's got some great ideas.
Yeah, I really like
what he was talking about last night about redoing, ending NAFTA, ending these crappy soul-draining agreements that are taking the heart and soul out of this country, you know, ending that and going back to trade agreements with countries and this Department of Peace and everything.
Yeah.
The guy talks like a man who has great capacity to lead, great capacity to be the president.
I really liked what he was talking about yesterday.
Very few people are paying attention. Zach, we got to go.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you checking in. Catherine Bay produced the program tonight, as she always does here in Atlanta. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is a webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out. Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. I will see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. I really, really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of